What's happening, Polite Society? I hope you had a good week. If you're here for the first time, welcome to my channel. I'm Alan. For those of you who are new, on Saturdays we have been looking at the women's movement. So let's continue with that subject matter. Last week we looked at Victoria Woodhull, the working girl who ran for president and who was dubbed Mrs. Satan. I mentioned that Victoria was part of the spiritualist group of the 19th century. Spiritists like modern-day witches, neo-pagans, and Wiccans are part of the occult, one of Cary Grese's three main pillars of egalitarianism, the other two being smash the patriarchy and free love. Spiritualism, also known as Spiritism, gained popularity in the 1800s and early 1900s for a few reasons. First, there was a high mortality rate in the 19th century as a result of disease. Second, two of the biggest waves of Spiritist growth occurred after the war between the states and after the First World War. Many people had lost loved ones and were longing to communicate with them. Mediums, with their claim to be able to contact the dead, made spiritualism an appealing choice to many. Spiritism was slightly different in the United States versus the United Kingdom. In England, the religion was popular among the aristocracy, but there was a good deal of pushback, with many thinking it was ridiculous and crazy. In the US, spiritualism was popular among the working class. Additionally, it consisted of predominantly young girls and was connected with the suffragists. Let's look at its origins. In 1848, Maggie and Katie Fox claimed that strange sounds were coming from inside their New York home. They said that these rappings were caused by ghosts. Their mother informed neighbors, and soon news spread quickly and the modern spiritualist movement was born. Maggie Fox later admitted that she had a disjointed toe, and this toe was what enabled her to make the rapping noises. She later recanted this and then took to the bottle. Spiritism is the belief that spirits are able to communicate with the living through the agency of a medium, and thus the medium plays a very significant role in the religion. The most common meeting places that people used to attempt to make contact with the other side were seances. Seances can be conducted through different practices. Automatic writing is when spirits write messages. Early on, this was often done with a planchette. Mediums would place a pencil on it, and the spirits would use the medium's hands to pen messages. Later, the planchette was used for Ouija boards. Most of us are familiar with these. A typical board has the alphabet, the numbers 0 through 9, along with yes, no, and goodbye icons. Here the spirit moves the medium's hands with the planchette in order to answer questions from the people in attendance. Mediums have also been known to go into trances. This is perhaps the most popular form of spirit communication. The psychic is supposed to become a different person when the immaterial spirit of that deceased individual takes temporary control over the medium's body. There are other ways that spirits are said to communicate as well, spirit tables, musical instruments, etc. Perhaps the most striking aspect about the spiritualist movement is the fact that there are spiritualist churches. Seven principles have been set forth, and they are the following. 1. The fatherhood of God. 2. The brotherhood of man. 3. Continuous existence. 4. Communion of spirits and ministry of angels. 5. Personal responsibility. 6. Compensation and retribution hereafter for good and evil done on earth. And 7. A path of endless progression. The first two principles, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, can also be found in the thinking of Rudolf Bultmann, a late 19th century neo-Orthodox scholar. Neo-Orthodoxy was the religious version of existentialism, an anti-Christian philosophy which, like Spiritism, was also closely tied to egalitarianism, and we will look at it in future videos. Spiritualism had many supporters in the suffragist movement, including leaders such as Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Like many occult religions, Spiritism was popular with some big names. Adherents include individuals as well known as Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Harriet Beecher Stowe, and Horace Greeley. Doyle is the author of Sherlock Holmes, Stowe wrote the famous Uncle Tom's Cabin, and Greeley was a famous newspaper editor and publisher. So what are we to make of Spiritism? Well, in my opinion, there are three primary critical positions. The first is that of Harry Houdini. Houdini was a famous illusionist who spent a good deal of his life debunking spiritist claims. He actually went to the Scientific American magazine and said that he would pay them $1,000 if he could not prove that psychic and medium Mina Crandon was a fraud. And of course, Houdini, being Houdini, did in fact prove she was a fraud. Here you can see Mina in the middle with Houdini on the right. In this seance, the spirit was supposed to ring a bell. Once for yes, three for no, and two for doubtful. Houdini realized that Mina had a box under her chair and that she would tap it to answer questions. This picture is showcasing this trickery. Certainly, a good deal of spiritualism consists of fraud. But from a Christian standpoint, it seems unlikely that since God in both Exodus 22:18 and Leviticus 20:27 stated that the punishment for a medium was to be capital, that all spiritist activity can be attributed to treachery. A middle view could be that while 19th century spiritualism was fraudulent, at least some of the spiritism practiced by the ancients was authentic and therefore demonic and dangerous. My own view is that 19th and 20th century spiritism was both fraudulent, as Houdini proved on several occasions, as well as sometimes genuine, and that actual communication did take place between humans and dark angels who were masquerading as departed spirits. The late great Dr. Walter Martin pointed out that spiritism is a cult that has been around since ancient times and has from its inception been in opposition to the true religion revealed by God in both the Old and New Testaments. In spiritualist sources, we can find rejections of the sufficiency of Scripture, the doctrine of the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the vicarious atonement, and the bodily resurrection. This alone is sufficient to reject spiritism, but there is much more. The Bible teaches us that for Christians, it is absolutely forbidden to practice in the occult. The aforementioned texts in Exodus and Leviticus are only the tip of the iceberg in terms of the volume of biblical data that unequivocally condemns spiritism. Under the Lord's command, Saul, prior to his apostasy, banished all mediums from the land of Israel. King Josiah, after him, did the same. And Manasseh's downfall came as a result of his delving into idolatry and witchcraft. Likewise, in the New Testament, Paul in Galatians 5 identifies sorcery as a deed of the flesh, and that those who practice it and do not walk by the Spirit will not inherit eternal life. It comes as little surprise that egalitarianism is connected with spiritism. A question historians ask is, why was spiritualism almost universally led by women? Andrew Jackson Davis tried to answer this inquiry by arguing that men have a positive charge that makes them too masculine to attract spirits. Women, on the other hand, are maternal, delicate, and sensitive, and therefore better equipped to magnetically attract the spirit world. But the true reason why occult religions are overrepresented by females can be found in Genesis 3. In Paul's commentary on this text, he writes that women are forbidden to teach or exercise authority over men because Adam was created first and then Eve. Also, Adam was not deceived, but Eve was. This does not cover Paul's full teaching on this matter. Though Paul prohibits women from teaching and exercising authority in 1 Timothy 2, in Romans 5, the same apostle holds Adam responsible for the entrance of sin and death into the world. Nevertheless, the tempter went after Eve because he knew she was the weaker vessel. And for over the last 200 years, the evil one has been slowly trying to break down Western society by deceiving women through the occult, anti-male ideologies, and free love. But just as the first Adam brought sin and ruin to the world, a second Adam to the fight and rescue came. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. And as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's be in prayer for those being deceived by Spiritism. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will enter into their hearts, thus casting away the evil spirits, and that He will enable them to turn to Jesus Christ as He is freely offered in the gospel. The sources that I used for this video are available in the description below. I'd highly recommend both Walter Martin's chapter on Spiritism and his title, The Kingdom of the Cults, as well as Dave Pawson's talk on Spiritism. All right, that's a wrap for now. Ladies and gents, if you want to share your own thoughts, be sure to do so in the comments section down below. Thanks for watching, everyone. If you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. If you like the content here, you can subscribe by clicking on the icon on the bottom right. Then you can hit the bell for notifications. I upload a new video every Wednesday and every Saturday. Have an awesome week, and for my brothers and sisters in the Lord, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all always. I will see you all in the next video. God's blessings on your week.